prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you
free. Welcome to Truth Revolution. Merry Christmas and all that. This is where faith and reason meets. I'm Pastor Jeff. He's Pastor Dave.
No, you're not Pastor Jeff.
Yeah, well.
Christmas has got you all messed up and all those presents. Constant. I am Pastor Jeff. He's Pastor Dave.
We will find out later.
And today is Christmas.
It is.
It's a great day. And today we are going over Christmas myths like we often do on Christmas, mm-hmm. except the show today is exactly on Christmas, which is cool.
Right. That doesn't happen regularly.
So I hope you've gathered the family around to listen to Truth Revolution, such as your tradition.
Right. Yeah, the warm fire.
Yes.
You know, the stockings hung on the fireplace.
That's right.
And stuff like that. Probably the bottoms of them singed by the fire.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, the nutcracker and the bowl of acorns. And or do you ever get...
Walnuts.
Walnuts, yeah.
I have acorns. The wrong one.
Yeah.
Are you cracking acorns on Christmas there, Jeff?
You just can't handle the truth.
Oh, man. So anyway, today we are talking about Christmas myths. We also got a special music video for you.
What?
I mean, of course, you have to be watching our YouTube to get the video.
Oh, right. You're just going to hear it.
The radio listeners, the podcast listeners will hear our version of We Three Kings. Just, it kind of starts like this, and then it gets a little harder after that.
There you go.
But we'll get into that in just a little bit. But all right, today, Dave, we are talking about the myths. Now, we love Christmas, and we understand that everybody loves their traditions, and so we don't want to ruin anything for anybody.
We're not here to trample on people's traditions.
No, no.
We just want you to know the truth. That happens to be part of the title of the show.
Truth Revolution, because what in the intro it says what you've been taught isn't always true.
Right.
Well, Christmas is one of those things, and I love Christmas. Do you love Christmas?
Oh, I love it.
Man,
It's weird. It's a dichotomy. I love it, but I'm always really happy when it's over.
Oh, really? Just because you're so busy?
No, I think it's just with all the commercialism and stuff like that, and you know, people shoving it down your throat for their own purpose, and we know that's not what the purpose of the holiday is.
See, I'm mainly sad when it's over because now I don't have any justification to listen to Michael Bublé Christmas songs anymore.
Yes, you do.
I do?
Because you're Jeff.
I just can do that?
Yes, you could just do that.
I
you have free will. Didn't God tell you?
This is life changing. I literally can listen to Michael Bublé Christmas songs in July.
You can, but there is a flip side to that.
What?
You won't have any friends.
I'm going to have to weigh this out for a little while and think about it. All right, let's go ahead and do our very first Christmas myth.
Okay.
Myth number one.
Okay, we are taught that Mary and Joseph arrived at an inn.
Yeah.
But it was full, so they had to stay in a stable.
That's what we've been taught. You may even have the manger scene. I have a manger scene at my house some Christmases. Now, if you don't want your myths to be exploded, you might want to turn that radio off there. This is probably not true.
Right?
It's probably not true that Mary and Joseph arrived at an inn and it was so full they had to stay in a stable. Why not? The word for inn or hotel in the Bible doesn't mean hotel.
Right.
It's the Greek word that is used in Luke 22:11 and Mark 14:14. And we're gonna see what those words are. Sometimes you can translate it as an inn, but usually that's not what it is. There's actually I believe a different Greek word for hotel. And so the word that they used in Jesus' story when they went to there was no room in the inn is the same word as Luke 22:11. Dave, will you read that?
Luke 22:11. And say to the owner of the house, the teacher asked, where is the guest room?
Where's the what?
The guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples.
Where's the word inn? It's not in there.
It is not in there.
The word is guest room. Mary and Joseph were actually looking to stay in a guest room.
Wow.
Think about it. Why were they going to Bethlehem?
They were going to Bethlehem for the census.
For the census. Okay. It required everyone to go to their hometown.
I almost said consensus.
Consensus?
For the census. Yeah, everybody had to go to their hometown. Because
it was their hometown, lots of relatives. There probably is not much consensus.
Right. Lots of arguing.
So they probably had relatives if this was their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Relatives probably had a guest room, but guess what?
The guest room was full.
That's right. Aunt Janine was already there, so mm-hmm. Aunt Janine got the guest room when she showed up a week before Mary and Joseph.
Right. I still think it's funny that Jesus had an Aunt Janine.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's in the Bible, right. But it's
all right, let's continue on. Nothing anyway, to see here.
You get my point. But yeah. In Luke 10:34, let's read this one now, okay?
All right, Luke 10:34. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him.
Okay, here we have a Bible verse where it's talking about an actual hotel. Mm-hmm. The guy was going to go stay with some strangers. He was wounded. He just needed a place to stay and get healed. And this word is actually the word inn. It is a totally different Greek word right. than in the Mary and Joseph story.
All right. In the Mary and Joseph story, the word was what? Kataluma?
Yes, galuma.
And in Luke, it's pandakion?
Very good. Yeah, very close. And so it's actually an inn in this one. It's a hotel. In the Joseph and Mary story, probably not a hotel, probably not an inn.
Wow.
So, plus, here's another thing. The inns were only on the main road to Jerusalem and Jericho. There were no inns near Bethlehem.
Right. Now, wasn't inns generally there for like soldiers and stuff like that?
Yeah, Romans and foreigners would use hotels. The inns were not used by Jews, especially not Jews with little money, especially not Jews who would stay, they wouldn't stay at an inn if there was family nearby. Right. It would be unheard of to not let your family stay with you if they were coming to your town. Triple especially if it was a woman about to give birth. The Jewish family would not have let her stay in a hotel away from the rest of the family in a place where Romans and foreigners stay. Not to mention the fact there were no hotels near Bethlehem, and that's not even the Greek word that is used.
Oh man, it's Joseph with his new wife, Mary. Tell him we got no room.
Tell him,
there's room
here.
In the barn.
Yeah, man, go to the barn. And,
yeah, it wouldn't have happened like that.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, so that Christmas myth is debunked today. Joseph and Mary didn't try to stay at a hotel. It was more likely a relative's guest room, mm-hmm. and there was no room in the relative's guest room. So that's number one. Done. Interesting. I hope you don't hate us yet.
Yet, he says yet. I hope you don't ever hate us.
No. Hey, you know what? Before we get to the next myth, before everybody tunes out because I hate this show so much mm-hmm. for destroying the myths, what do you say we do our music video?
Let's do it.
All right, so this is We Three Kings. This is the Revolution Church version of We Three Kings.
it.
That was the world premiere.
The world premiere. Actually, we've played it like that for 5 years or something, but never before on the radio show. So there we got the We Three Kings. Now, interesting thing, we just did a show last week with Hugh Ross from Reasons to Believe.
Right, talking about the star.
Talking about the star of Bethlehem that the We Three Kings followed and went to.
Nice tie-in.
Yeah, thanks. I was practicing that in my head, and I think I nailed it. But, you know, we're supposed to not just go, wow, I read it, and just, okay, wow, it's some sort of mystical thing. And you mentioned to me before.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, you know, talking about it with Ross, it really bolstered my faith, because when I was younger, I used to always think of it as a mystical thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, you know, these wise men, they saw the star and they followed the star to Bethlehem. Right. And to me, I just always kind of accepted it for what it was. But when we realize that this stuff is written down, and that what's written in Daniel tells them the exact time they need to be there. Daniel was a wise man among wise men, and he was revered in his field. And so they had his writings, although they didn't have the other writings of the Bible. And so they're like, hey, it's getting right around that time. Oh, look, there's a star.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they were waiting for it. It was prophesied, given the exact year.
Right.
The year came. The wise men, who were in the same tradition as Daniel's, took Daniel's writing, said, hey, it's the right time, the right year. Let's probably pay attention and figure this out. Oh, look, there's a sign. Let's follow that. Maybe that's it.
Right.
I mean, it just totally makes sense.
Yeah, and the fact that they went to Jerusalem because they didn't know where to go. They asked the priest there, where should we go to find the Messiah?
Yeah.
Well, he's to be born in Bethlehem.
And there was another myth we blew up last week, and it wasn't a star. Probably wasn't a star. It was, and if you're going, but the Bible says it was a star. Not exactly. You got to go back to last week's show and listen, but let's go ahead and destroy another myth.
All right.
Myth number two.
Jesus was born on December 25th. Oh, he's actually talking about that to a coworker today.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. He's like, you know, that's probably not the right date. I'm like,
very good,
really?
Guy.
Yeah. Like, how do you know? You've been listening to Truth Evolution, haven't you? He said no.
No? How would he know?
Because he's smart like that.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says this.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
Now just let this roll around in your brain.
Okay, this December 25th.
This is the Christmas story. Christmas story. Luke 2. There were shepherds. Where were they living? They were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
I'm sure they were probably using the sheep to keep themselves warm.
What, they just huddled the sheep around them?
Yeah.
You would have frozen...
I've got a sheepskin sheep.
You would have frozen your bippy off if it was really winter and staying there all night long. You don't know what that word means? Bippy?
What is bippy?
I don't really know.
Okay.
But you would have frozen it off.
Okay.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about why December 25th. Maybe even give a little clues to when Jesus was actually born right after this break. But you got to come out to Truth Evolution, because today is Christmas and we're having Christmas services at...
Right. It'll be at 10 o'clock, 11:30, and 5 p.m.
Those are also live streamed, but you'll want to get here to hear Christmas music live. You want to be here to enjoy all the other people. Hit up our coffee bar. You're going to learn about Jesus along with us. Super easy. I've met so many of you who said you've thought about coming out. Just come on out.
Right?
We love you no matter what you've been through. Come on out to Revolution on Christmas. This Christmas, December 25th, you're invited to Revolution Church.
But what if someone had never been to church before?
Revolution Church is actually here for people who haven't been to church in a long time or ever.
And there's no dress code.
Jeans, t-shirts, tats, whatever.
Want more info? www.revo.church or check us out on Facebook.
Christmas Day, we have three services for you to choose from. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., or 5 p.m.
And all of them have great kids programs too.
That's revo.church or look up Revolution Church on Facebook.
See you on Christmas Day.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
The second goal of apologetics is to provide a sure foundation to believers. A popular notion today is to suggest that faith must be blind or irrational to truly be faith.
But this is not the biblical definition of faith at all. Giving one definition of faith, Hebrews 11 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Therefore, having deeper hope and more certainty in what we believe actually increases our faith.
faith?
How do you gain certainty? How is hope deepened?
In line for a roller coaster, nervous participants may not be certain or hopeful for a safe outcome, but as they witness safety restraints, workers paying attention, their hope for safety is deepened.
They saw it was safe.
And the Apostle Peter, who worked beside Jesus, still had faith even though he'd seen Jesus.
His faith was in what was yet to come, just like the roller coaster riders were yet to ride. Peter saw ample evidence that Jesus was who he said he was.
Faith isn't blind.
TruthRevolution.tv. Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, "This show changed my life. I love Jesus."
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Did you know that in Saline County, Kansas, there are only 11 children waiting to be adopted right now? That's right. For those of you who live near where we broadcast at Revolution Church, there's only 11 children who are waiting to be adopted this Christmas. Yeah, you hear those stories about worldwide, there's millions and millions of orphans, and you sometimes think, what could I possibly do? Well, the answer is simple. You can make a world of a difference for one kid. This Christmas, you can invest in a child. Contact St. Francis. They know who the kids are that need to be adopted in Saline County or Salina, Kansas. And ask them, who are these kids and what can I do? No matter where you are, you can Google adoption in my city.
This Christmas, you're invited to Revolution Church.
Wear what you want to Christmas at Revolution.
On Christmas Day, you have three options, 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., or 5 p.m.
Plus, all three have great kids programs.
Get more info online at revo.church. That's revo.church.
Truth Revolution.
Myth busting today on Truth Revolution.
Boom. Stuff's getting blown up all over.
Right.
Christmas myths. Now, yeah, you really do need to come out to Revolution, just like the advertisement during the break heard, unless your radio station overdubbed some other ads on top of that. But yeah, coming out to Revolution, 10 o'clock, 11:30, 5 p.m.
Right.
Any one of those three services is going to be doing Christmas stuff. I'm going to teach about Jesus. We're going to have a great kids program. We always have great kids stuff for the kids. We're going to have great Christmas music.
And if you're a kid listening to the show, tell your parents, hey, they got a great kids program.
You're a parent, bring your kid.
There you go.
They're going to only learn about God if you bring them and teach them.
Amen.
All right, so we found out that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Jesus was probably not, because the shepherds were living in the fields at night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. Shepherds only let their flocks graze at night during the warm seasons. During the cold seasons, they graze and were out during the day. So Christ was probably born in a warm season like summer and not a cold one like winter.
Right.
In fact, early Christians chose December 25th. There's a couple different possibilities. One possibility that's really popular now is that it was a supposed birth of a false god during the pagan festival of Rome.
Right.
The feast of the goddess Brutus. So people say like,
Brutus the barber?
No, I don't know anyone who said that, Dave.
I was a wrestling fan way back in the day.
Bruce who?
Brutus the barber beefcake.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Look it up. Just look it up.
Actually, right. Don't look it up.
Okay.
Don't look it up.
It's nothing important.
All right.
Nothing to see here. Let's move on.
Go to truthrevolution.tv instead of looking that up.
There you go.
All right. But people always say things like, well, Christmas isn't really about Jesus. I mean, it was put on this day and it was a pagan celebration.
Right.
So, you know, it's really a pagan holiday. Well, yeah, but you got to understand, the early Christians put Christmas on December 25th as a rival celebration to the false god.
Right.
They were saying, our God is better and real, so we're going to celebrate our God's birthday on your fake God's birthday.
Right. And so, you know, putting Brutus the barber aside, who really heard it? Who really knows who Brutus was?
I have no idea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who wins?
Jesus won.
Jesus won.
The Christians and their celebration won.
Mission accomplished.
That's right. This became about Jesus instead of Brutus, who you may have never even heard of before the Truth Revolution show today. So that myth has been done away with. All right. We got a few more here we want to blow through today. Let's do myth number three.
Joseph and Mary arrived to Bethlehem late at night.
Probably not true. Really? Sometimes, you know, you view these Christmas plays and they're traveling all day. They arrive there late at night to the inn, which we know is not true.
Right.
They arrive at the inn late at night and, oh, there's no room and it's dark out. And
I think probably I know why this one came about.
Why?
You know, because when we're driving around in our cars, we drive at night.
Yeah.
And then we drive until we get so tired we can't hold our eyes open anymore. And then we want to stop at the hotel.
Yeah.
Well, now there's no vacancy because why? Because you're an idiot and you drove all night.
Yeah.
Everybody's already stayed there.
Yep. And so we take our culture and we put it on the Christmas story. But nowadays, like if we're driving and I go, you know what? We can go another 10 or 15 miles before we have to stop. You know, it's only 7 o'clock. We don't need to go to bed till 9 or 10. And,
right.
But back in the day, they could only walk 10 or 15 miles per day when traveling. And that was new and pretty good.
Right.
All right. They knew exactly how long they would be able to travel and they would schedule it out. 10 or 15 miles, and then that would be it. Plus, traveling at night was very dangerous back then.
Right, bandits on the road and
bandits,
stuff.
It was not like today. They would have wanted to travel, get up in the morning, travel their 10 miles, and then stay where they're supposed to stay.
Right.
Now, they made it to Bethlehem before Jesus was born.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have gotten there probably late afternoon, maybe even early afternoon. But they were not most likely arriving late at night. So that's myth number three.
All right.
Let's do number four, Dave.
The innkeeper had no alternative but to put Mary and Joseph in a stable at night.
Okay.
Doesn't that go with like the one we did earlier?
A little bit, but just like we said, there was no inns in Bethlehem. There were no stables back then.
No stables?
There were no stables.
Where'd they put the animals?
Not like what we think of. Okay, yeah. Sheep were protected inside stone walls. A lot of the other animals were brought into the house at night.
Uh-huh.
Kings would have stables, some other places have stables, but generally speaking, just a family like that, they wouldn't have had a stable.
Right.
They had a family home and the animals are brought into the house at night. And so when they Mary and Joseph arrive, they put him in this, remember what they put him in?
A
manger?
Yeah, a manger.
And everybody thinks that's why he was put into a stable. The Bible doesn't say they were in a stable. The Bible says they put Jesus in a manger, and a manger is what animals can eat out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody assumes they were in a stable, but they didn't put animals in a stable. There was not a stable like that,
right.
But they brought the animals inside where the manger was. So Mary and Joseph were inside the house. They put Jesus in the manger where the animals would have eaten, inside the house where the animals would have been.
Right. And that was likely in a common room.
Exactly. Right? And so that brings us to myth number five.
Mary gave birth to Jesus the night they arrived.
What? No. I mean, I don't know. Everyone thinks this. It's like Joseph and Mary showed up and then she got in the room and was like, boom. They got to this hotel late at night and then Mary gave birth that night and they were in a stable. Like, okay, they didn't arrive at night. They didn't give birth the night they arrived. The Bible says that while they were there, the days were completed.
Oh, that could have been pretty much any time after they arrived.
Any time after they arrived.
Right.
I mean, it could have been a month after they arrived.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell us. And so they were there probably quite a bit longer. If I was Joseph, I would not be forcing my wife to travel the day she was going to give birth.
Right. That makes complete sense.
Yeah. I mean, he would have planned this.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph was not an idiot. Well, I hope not.
Yeah, right.
I mean, God picked him to be the father of Jesus.
Right.
I'm thinking he didn't pick an idiot.
No.
So, or a jerk. So they probably didn't travel on the day that Martha was giving birth. I said, Martha. Who's Martha?
She was in the kitchen cooking.
All right. Myth number six.
All right. Mary was alone in a stable when Jesus was born. What?
Okay. In middle or lower class home, there were three parts. There was a family room. There was a place for the animals at night. And then there was the extra room, the guest room. Okay, it was partitioned off for the family and different people. Now the whole family, everyone was in the same house. Okay, Mary was not alone. In fact, there was probably a lot of people there. The main family was there. The guest room was already full. They were having to sleep in the main room along with whoever else was crammed into the house.
Right. That's really weird. How do we come to those conclusions?
Because we take our ideas of our culture and we put it on there. We read one little thing like they put Jesus in a manger and go, oh, he must have been in a stable. And we're like, oh, they were traveling. They must have stayed in a hotel.
Right. But there wasn't room in the inn. So they put him in the stable.
Yeah.
And why would there be people in the stable?
And then, yeah, so there's no other people there.
Right.
And so when I drive, I know that I don't arrive until late at night, so they probably didn't arrive. So we got this crazy image in our head of someone who showed up late at night, there wasn't room in a hotel, so they got put into a horse stable and got put in the manger, and they were all alone when the baby was born that very night. But none of that is biblical.
Right.
Now, there's a lesson that we can take from this, and the lesson is we have to read the Bible for what the Bible's trying to communicate to us.
Oh, here's where the Truth Revolution stuff's coming in.
Right. So we can't just say, hey, what does this mean to me? What does this mean to you? No, God was trying to communicate a message to us, and we have to understand what that message was, not what do I want it to be,
right.
Not what does my culture say it is, not what is nice to hear, but what is God trying to communicate to me through his own words? Dave, when you talk to me and you tell me something, you don't want me to go, Dave, I think what your words mean for me, like if you said,
right.
If you go, hey, Jeff, can I have the day off? I go, Dave, I think what that means for me is like, you'd like to just really turn your lights off in your office and like just do work in the dark. That's what it means for me. And yeah, you have permission.
Thanks.
No, like when you take someone's words, you say, what does it mean for me? You've totally misused them.
Right.
So
you aren't getting the point.
This reminds me of Bible contradictions. Let's do our Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today comes from Isaiah 7 and Matthew 1.
Okay.
Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign.
Mm-hmm.
The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 1:23 says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, the Greek Septuagint,
okay,
which Matthew used, translates it as virgin shall conceive and bear a son. But the Hebrew word Alma means young woman of marriageable age, not virgin.
Yeah.
So they totally put virgin in there?
Yeah. Well, we have to use the E for early meaning in manuscripts.
Okay.
As well as D for dialect in our cracked acronym. Okay. That word in Isaiah, it does mean young woman. And a lot of people say, you know what? The Bible didn't say she was a virgin. In Isaiah, it says that she is just a young woman. That word for virgin means young woman. And although that's true, the book of Matthew explicitly tells us, Isaiah was talking about a virgin. Because Matthew didn't use the word for young lady. He used the word for virgin.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so it's also interesting to note when the Jews, before Christ even came, when they would translate Isaiah from Hebrew into the Greek language,
right,
they would use the Greek word for virgin when they translated it,
really?
Not the Greek word for young lady. And so they were trying to express, hey, we know what Isaiah meant when he wrote this, and he didn't mean just someone who was young. He actually did mean someone who was a virgin, so that's why they translated it that way.
Right, so instead of taking things for face value when you first look at it, do a little bit of research.
That's exactly right. And that's the answer to our Bible contradiction today. Truth Revolution is almost over. Just remember, Jesus Christ is celebrated, his birth is today, because he changed the world. Without having faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved or forgiven from your sins. You have to turn to him, accept his forgiveness, and then follow him. And so we encourage you to come out to Revolution Church today. We know you got sin in your life, but we do too.
Yeah.
We need God's forgiveness, and so do you. This is what we're all about here.
Right, amen.
We know you got crazy stuff in your past. So what?
We want
you to find for God's forgiveness. It doesn't matter. Just come on out.
Get
to Revolution
on
Church, December 25th. Today's Christmas. Coming out. We would love to have you. Just wear whatever you got. You don't dress up here.
Nope.
Just be yourself.
And if you got those tattoos, be sure and rock them, all right?
That's right. Rock those tattoos or piercings out at Revolution Church, December 25th. Today, 10 o'clock, 11:30, or 5 p.m. Have a Merry Christmas.